the NTSB issues a preliminary report on Boston's Dreamliner fire. A4A opposes extension of pilot duty and rest rules to cargo pilots. And Pan Am acquires Airline Career Academy's flight school. This is Aero News for Thursday, January 10, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB has released an update on its formal investigation of Monday's fire aboard a Japan Airlines Boeing 787 Dreamliner at Logan International Airport in Boston. There were no injuries or crew on board at the time. One firefighter did receive minor injuries. In addition to an investigator already on scene who visually inspected the airplane Monday night, the NTSB has sent two additional investigators to Boston and formed investigative groups to look at airworthiness and fire and airport emergency response. Parties to the investigation are the FAA and the Boeing Company. In addition, the Japan Transport Safety Board has appointed an accredited representative, and Japan Airlines will assist the JTSB as technical advisors. The initial investigator on scene confirmed early speculation that the fire centered around an aft APU used when the plane is parked with engines off, that airplane maintenance and cleaning personnel were on the airplane with the APU in operation just prior to the detection of smoke in the cabin, and finally that the fire was extinguished within about 40 minutes of the first alarm. Further investigative updates will be issued as events warrant. Airline industry trade organization Airlines for America, A4A, on Monday reaffirmed its opposition to the extension of the FAA's pilot duty and rest rules beyond passenger airlines to all cargo pilots. Issued in December 2011, the rules established lower accumulated flight times and a 10-hour minimum rest period. Pilots' unions, particularly those representing pilots for cargo carriers, have lobbied to have the rules extended to cargo pilots since their establishment, saying the airplane does not care whether it is carrying people or cargo, and that the effects of fatigue on pilots are the same whether they are flying passengers or freight. Congressman Michael Grimm, a Republican of New York, and Tim Bishop, Democrat of New York, agree and recently introduced legislation to extend those rules beyond passenger airlines to all cargo carriers. A4A President and CEO Nicholas E. Calio says, quote, "All stakeholders actively participated in the rulemaking, which was composed of a scientific review of existing safety measures, fatigue mitigations, and diverse airline operating environments, and the rule as put forward by the FAA builds on our safety record," end quote. A4A contends that the proposed legislation is ill-advised, with no basis in science or relevant data. Pan Am International Flight Academy announced recently that it has acquired Airline Career Academy, a pilot training academy specializing in JAA, EASA, and FAA initial pilot training. ACA will be integrated into Pan Am's operations to offer world-class professional pilot training programs. The acquisition was finalized December 31st, and all training will continue to operate under the Pan Am International Flight Academy brand with no interruption of service. The company provides private, instrument, and commercial multi-engine training with a fleet of approximately 50 aircraft, including single-engine Cessna 172 SPs, 172 G1000s, Piper Cadets, Warriors, and Arrows, as well as multi-engine Beechcraft Duchesses and Piper Seminoles. Airline Career Academy was established in 1995 and trains an estimated 250 pilots annually. The Union for Engineers and Technical Workers resumed contract negotiations with the Boeing Company on Wednesday, but the two sides reportedly remain far apart on major contract issues. Members of the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace marked the resumption of talks with a day of action that included lunchtime solidarity events at Boeing facilities from Everett to Portland and Utah. Wednesday's day of action events were expected to draw from dozens at small sites to hundreds and thousands of SPEEA members walking inside and outside Boeing facilities in Renton and Everett. According to SPEEA, Boeing has drawn three unfair labor practice charges for videotaping and photographing union members at the events, confiscating cameras and the photographs they held. SPEEA says all of those marches were peaceful. The ULPs are awaiting action before the National Labor Relations Board. SPEEA and Boeing started meeting last April to negotiate new contracts for the 15,550 engineers and 7,400 technical workers. Existing contracts expired on November the 25th of last year. when Aero News continues. A behemoth airship takes baby steps. The CAP rings the bell, and the Spitfire recovery begins.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, January the 10th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The 230-foot-long, 36,000-pound variable buoyancy prototype airship, known as the Aeros Pelican, has taken its first baby steps. The behemoth airship showed that it could move near the ground without assistance from ground personnel. The airship was maneuvered from the cockpit using air-bearing landing gear. This was the first of four Pentagon-required tests. The test was reported in a defense technology blog titled Ares. Aeros CEO Igor Pasternak told the blog that he hopes that the remaining three milestones can be reached this week. Those would include vertical takeoff, delivery of cargo without adding ballast, and the ability of the airship's aero shell to maintain its rigidity without being pressurized. So far, all of the tests have been conducted in Aeros' hangar. Pasternak said the airship was in a heavier-than-air mode for the ground-handling test. He said that while the Pelican is configured for flight in open air, some modifications would likely be necessary to meet FAA requirements for flight testing. The company's goal is to build a 450-foot-long airship capable of carrying 66 tons more than 3,000 nautical miles without refueling. Civil Air Patrol was front and center Friday morning at the New York Stock Exchange, with high-ranking CAP officials, as well as cadets, perched atop the podium on the trading room floor to open the third day of business of the new year. The CAP bell-ringing team was led by National Commander Major General Chuck Carr, who touted the 61,000-member organization and its missions for America during the brief Stock Exchange appearance. The cadets, members of CAP's New York wing, were on hand to call attention to the organization's cadet program, which provides young people between the ages of 12 and 21 with a well-rounded program of leadership development, aerospace education, physical fitness, and moral and ethical decision-making. In addition to educating more than 26,000 cadets, CAP's adult leaders provide training and resources to teachers who reach out to students of all ages across the country. The bell-ringing ceremony was featured on the New York Stock Exchange Euronext website and on television networks such as CNBC, Bloomberg TV, and Fox Business News, reaching millions of viewers worldwide. After 17 years of work and research, British farmer and aircraft enthusiast David Kundal has finally begun digging at the first of three sites where he thinks crates of rare World War II Spitfire airplanes were buried as the war was coming to a close. The first excavation got underway last Friday at Mingledon near Burma's main airport, according to the UK newspaper The Independent. The team hopes to find as many as 36 Mark 14 Spitfires interred in crates near the airport. Kundal was accompanied by a 91-year-old veteran who was in Burma at the time and says he remembers seeing, quote, double-decker-sized crates, end quote, being readied for burial near the war's end. A British military archive shows that 124 of the airplanes were decommissioned without ever being flown in combat at the end of the Burmese campaign. At least eight eyewitnesses said they saw British and American troops bury the crated airplanes before they went home. The airplanes, if they are there, are beneath 25 to 30 feet of soil, packed in crates, and hopefully well preserved against the elements. If the airplanes are found and brought back to the light of day, Kundal says it could easily double the number of complete Spitfires known to exist. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.